Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. It's going to be one for the ages today. I just sense that coming up inside of me. My wife just texted me something. I better see, because whenever she's got something for me, it's good. I didn't want to kick that out of... Okay, sweetheart, I'll get there. Thanks for that. Morning. Boy, again, I got a lot bubbling, gurgling up inside of me this morning. Honored that you guys would join us today. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. And that's always my attitude. Woke up a little bit today. Had several things, as I said, percolating inside of me. Some important things I want to try to cover. Interactive. Call your friends. Tell them tune in. We're going to have a great one today. A couple things I want to make point of before I get too far therein. The DVDs, Occupy 2018, are in. I'm saying this to all the people who've ordered them and wondered where the heck they are. Listen, Jared's done a great job. Our webmaster, Jared's done a great job at our website. Our website was a bit clunky in that you're trying to figure out where to get stuff, donations, all blah, blah, blah. Jared simplified all that stuff. He's got it up on the screen. Jared, so if they're interested in any of the stuff we have, they go to shop. Is that what they look for now, Jared? I see that you've got it up on the screen. CoachDaveLive.com/shop. These are really, really good. And they're DVDs of the conference, Occupy 2018. I put them in, watched some of them yesterday. It's a four CD set. Yeah, it's all on there. It's all well done. And so they're going to, those of you who've been waiting, they're going to go out. I'm waiting for one thing to arrive in the mail today, and we're packing them up and we're sending them out. So God bless you. Those of you who'd like to help support what we do, we've got a few extra, $40. Say, that's a lot. Well, yeah, it is. A lot. Worth having. You don't think of you got to put $40 in your gas tank. Don't even bat, especially now. Gas prices are going up. So those are coming out. Thank you for all of you out there for being patient and waiting with us to get those things done. All right? Cool. I'm gonna dive right in today. Stay right there, man, Jared, on that page. Stay right there on that page, because I hardly ever acknowledge the fact that we are on some terrestrial radio stations. We're on KYAH 540 in Utah. They've picked us up out there. Of course, Pastor Mike Spalding, Soaring Eagle Radio, he streams us every day as well. So, you're trying to... Can I vent a minute? Hey, Vince, can I vent a minute?
You go do it, brother.
Okay, I'm going to vent. I'm going to vent here a little bit. Maybe this is one of the reasons I got up. I woke up conflicted. Here's the truth. The same thing that gave us denominationalism, the same thing that gave us strife and division within the American Christian church, probably worldwide Christian church. And it's this. Are you ready? Everybody thinks their way's best. Everyone thinks their way is best. Now, listen, I salute everyone who is fighting in any area of the cultural war. God bless you. Because let me tell you something. I know how lonely it is, okay? I've been doing this, what is this? This 2000, I've been doing this almost 20 years, much of it alone. And those of you who know me or follow us know that I'm a team guy. I'm a team player, man. And I try to get the ball to the guy who can score the touchdown. And those of you who watch this show would have to admit it's never my way or the highway, ever. If you get that impression from me, I'm sorry. Never. I run to battles and I help people in different battles. That is the way I've always done it. And if I can't carry the ball, shouldn't carry the ball, I'm going to get to the ball the guy who can. But here's one of the things that frustrates me more than anything. Baptists are Baptists because of whatever their theology is. They think baptism is the key, so they build a theology about that. Methodists are Methodists because there's a methodology that they think that you have to follow in order to be a Christian. Lutherans are Lutherans because they follow the teachings of Luther, and there are certain things that you have to do. And Catholics are Catholics because, point being what? Presbyterians are Presbyterians because of the order of the religious community. Each one of them think they're right. And you want to try to advance the ball. You get in the middle of that, and you try to advance the ball. I was reading a thread on Facebook yesterday regarding something. I don't even remember what it was, but one guy caught my eye. I thought this would be kind of interesting. So I started reading some of the threads down through there, and it's just my just back and forth, bap, 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 theology, arguing over theology. And it's okay because theology is important. But if I were to say right now, if I were to go on here, how many people we have in the queue? Here we get 23 people in the queue. Come on, rest of you, get on in here. Some of you are new. Some of you have been around for a while. If I were to start right down here and I would say, hey, Vince. Hey, okay, let's do this. Hey, Vince, what's the biggest problem? What's the biggest problem facing America?
Oh, the biggest problem facing America, if we were talking about the last 24 hours, say people not being honest about the race.
When son, there you go. There you are, bud.
Yeah.
I didn't hear. Okay, race. I didn't hear that, Vince. Sometimes, folks, I'm sorry. Sometimes I don't know what happens here. Race. Roger, what's the biggest problem facing America?
Limitation of speech. Free speech.
Jeff Klein, what's the biggest problem facing America?
Humanism.
Lowell, what's the biggest problem facing America?
I would say humanism as well. Liberalism.
Liberalism, humanism. Serge, what's the biggest problem facing America today? Okay. Oh, Serge, come on, man. This is your big moment. Glenn, what's the biggest problem facing America today?
Apathy and humanism.
George, what's the biggest problem facing America today?
We've kicked God out of our institutions, our country.
So here's where I'm going. Every one of those things are a legitimate excuse. If you would not, believe, I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. You would not believe the number of emails that I get from people who get mad because I don't pick up and run with their cause. I'm just telling you. Then they suck on their thumb and they get mad because I have not jumped in wholeheartedly behind their cause. And I could tell you right now, or ask you right now, what is the biggest problem? We just heard six guys that couldn't really agree on it. Couldn't really, because we cannot identify what the problem is. And so I come here every morning and I try to put together a show, and I'll be daggone. Hey, listen, I'm just going to say this as nicely as I can. I love y'all. I'm not going to structure a show that simply makes you happy.
Amen, right? Brother.
And I'm not going to structure a show that just picks up your cause. Okay? I don't know if you know this. We have thousands that listen. Thousands. And so I get an email from a guy, oh, well, you're not going to help me with this. Okay, well, good luck. What? What do you mean I'm not going to help you with it? You want me to pick up and run with your issue. I'm sorry, man. that's not the way I roll. It's not the way. You do something, I'll do my best to help you. But for you to think I'm going to pick up what you think is the most important issue, then I might as well be a Methodist or a Lutheran or a Baptist or a Presbyterian or a non-denominational or a Jehovah's Witness. Pick whatever one you want to, because you are doing the exact same thing that has caused the division to begin with. I've already told you what I think the biggest problem is in America. I believe it is abortion. That's what I think. Rejection of God. We could go on, all of it. But I don't make you get behind me and march behind me and say, this is the only thing we're going to do. And if you're watching right now, I could line up people to tell you of causes that I've gone and helped them with. But listen, I can't pick up every cause. I can't pick it up. And I hear from some who want the show to be more issues oriented. Talk about this, coach. We need to know about this. Okay, okay. And then I get another one. God, no, you guys don't talk about this. We need you to talk about this. And I'm wondering, does Limbaugh sit home, scratch his head, figure out what he's going to talk about today? I try to do this. I try to bring a dike. Here's what I try to do. I try to look at the scriptures, look at the world, and compare the two. Or I try to look at the world and look at the solution in the scriptures and bring the two together. That's what I try to do. I'm an issues-oriented guy. I'm a solutions-oriented guy. But I'm not going to pick up. I'm not going to pick up your cause. I'm with you in your cause, but I ain't going to pick it up. Okay, I vented. Somebody jump in here and tell me if I'm right or wrong. And you don't have to just agree with me. Don't just have to agree with me. I can. Okay, I'll do that. Wait a minute. Stream of consciousness here, right? Go ahead and say what you want to. Then I got something I'm going to say. Open the door. Come on in.
There's nothing wrong with anything you said. Absolutely dead on. And the show should be about, listen, it's about you. It's about us all together, but it's about you. It's about your ideas.
Coach.
We piggyback.
Coach, I think it goes back to Genesis, right? When men are supposed to toil in the field and work and sweat and take responsibility, and we inherently don't want to do that. And so they look for someone else, you, to do it for them when it gets hard for them. And we got to,
you know,
right?
I mean, you know what they want, Jared? They want me to give their cause a push. And I'd love to. I would love to. Folks, do you have any idea how long I have labored, 18 years labored, to get to where we are now, and we ain't nothing? And I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't had a whole lot of help. I'm not whining and complaining. I'm not chucking on my thumb. I'm just telling you the reality of it. Put a lot of time and effort and energy and sacrifice and finances into what it is we do. And then you want to come along and co-opt what I'm doing and tell me, no, you ought to be doing it this way.
Right.
Well, I said, listen, let me see what you're doing with the cause that you think is so important. Let me see what you're doing and how can I help you with it? But I am not going to pick up your cause.
Hey, coach.
Yeah, George.
Hey, I'm just going to speak to those people that are thinking like you're thinking. You're selfish.
Right.
You're self-absorbed because you know what? It's not your cause. It's not coach's cause. It's not my cause. It's Jesus Christ's cause. And in Jesus Christ, there is no disunity. Jesus knows no disunity. There's only unity. So change your ways. Make it Christ's cause. It's not, if you think your cause is so important and you can't unify, then you're a disunifier and you need to repent.
And George, I'm not saying that their issue isn't valid. I'm not saying that. It's extremely valid. I support you in it. Well, I support you in it. What, you want me to pick it up? You want me to pick it? Here's the solution. I got four of those yesterday. Here's the solution. Why won't you do this? Here's the solution. Oh, my goodness. Great. Show me, and we'll come alongside and help you. How can we do that?
Dave?
Hang on a second, Roger. And for the most part, ain't none of you ever helped me. Ever. Yeah, Roger.
Can I stir the pot a little bit?
Sure.
I agree with you. It is your show, your ministry, and our job is to support it. Your job is to listen to your viewers, and that's how things grow and go forward. Why don't we feel that way about a private company like Facebook? Because we're all over how Facebook does things, but is it not also, isn't that the call to Christians to start their own Facebook and not complain about what Facebook has done?
Amen, brother.
Yes. Yes.
I'm this is your show. My job is to support you, and for your job to grow, you have to be somewhat attuned to the listeners and those participating. That's called, to me, from a business standpoint, free enterprise, capitalism, all that good stuff. But we have to carry that thought into other areas also, or I think we're we're hypocrites. Now, the only exception is, I believe, is, you know, where there's total domination and, you know, the public utility type, you know what I'm saying, where there's one person controlling everything, then I think there needs to be some concern. But overall, all businesses, the baker should be able to function this way. I, as a lawyer, should be able to pick and choose my clients without people complaining. There shouldn't be anybody getting in my way outside of, you know, I just believe in that free enterprise system. I don't know if that stirs it the wrong way or not.
Well, I do too. I do too. And what I try to do here at this show is I bring to the table a bevy of issues. We try to look at it through a script. I know this. I could be wrong. If I've done 205 shows a week for 52 weeks, if my math is any good, it's 260 shows in 1 year. In 2 years, it's 520 shows. We're almost halfway through our third year, so we're 500, 260, 500, 690. 690 shows. And I come here every day, and I prepare, and I try to make it fresh, only to be told how I'm doing it wrong. Most of you out there, I'm just telling you the truth. Most of you out there couldn't do this 2 days in a row and have anybody all follow it. So I would say, how about a little bit of grace here, huh? How about a little bit of grace? Doing the best that I can. You're not the only one sitting at the table. It's not me and you having a private conversation. I'm trying to speak to a lot of people and help a lot of people grow spiritually. And if you were honest within yourself, if you've been watching this show for any length of time, you would have to admit you have never been in the Bible as much as you have been when you come to this show in the morning.
Amen.
Hey, Coach.
You know what, Coach? They have to put effort and energy into their cause. I mean, seriously, it took me 8 years to even get a foot in.
Mm.
And, you know, and I'm thankful for the ministries like Pastor Salt and for New Beginning. I'm thankful for the ministries that stepped in and helped me get a foot in. But it's
we're helped. That's right. And we're helping you. I'll help you. But I can't be you. I can't make the show always about homosex.
That's right.
I can't do that.
Right. That's right. You can't do it because that's not the only thing that's tearing down this nation.
Amen, brother. A whole bunch of crap.
You know, I think I've got a suggestion for all those folks, and that is forget Gamaliel's advice. Gamaliel was an unsaved person giving advice to a bunch of other unsaved persons. Now, why the hell do people in the church think that's good advice?
Psalm 19. Psalm 19. Yeah, go ahead, George. Listen, I'm not, George, hang on a second. I'm not trying to make enemies. Just sit in my shoes. Sit in my seat. Sit in my seat.
Well, Coach, that's be a little hard.
Yeah, I couldn't wear 3 feet in it. Go ahead, George.
Coach, a couple things. Just the fact that you're getting resistance means you're doing something right. And secondly, I've gotten to know you, and in my own realm of life, Coach, I've been the leader in different. Them. And so I understand that you can't have two heads. Someone has to be the head, and that the followers aren't always going to like it, but you still create unity out of it, and you don't divide over something trivial that you don't like. And Coach, I'll just say this. I've gotten to know you personally, and you're definitely – you have never shut me down on something. If you don't agree on something, we've never divided over it. And you're right. It's never your way or the highway. But you are the leader, so you have to lead. And in doing that, you know, all your followers can't do their agenda all the time.
Amen. George, those of you who are in the queue, some of you aren't in the queue anymore. In the queue, before the show starts, every day, almost every day, I quote this scripture. You ready? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Now, those of you who are in the pre-show know that. I pray that almost every day. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, not acceptable in the sight of the viewers. Do you understand the difference then? If I came here every day and I tried to please what, if I tried to do what George wanted me to do, and then I tried to do what Vinny wanted me to do, and then I tried to do what Roger wanted me to do, and I tried to do what Larry wanted to do, my goodness, I'd be up all night biting my nails. Who am I going to please today? So I like to throw the potpourri out there on the table. I try to marry the natural world, marry the natural world with the spiritual world, so we see the connection and understand what's going on. And there's not anybody who's watching this show, I don't think, who's more of an activist than me. I don't think there's anybody more.
Not in your vein, absolutely. I'll tell you, I've been in it for a long time myself. What it is, I've finally got the message down to two things. Jared, I'm addressing two planks in cultural Marxism, children and GMOs. So that's my focus.
Okay. And how can I help you? But don't ask me to pick up the GMO fight. Does that make sense? Well, you get what I'm saying, though, right?
Of course.
These are all, folks, these are all spiritual issues. All spiritual issues.
Hey, Coach. Here,
yeah, while Jeff's talking, Jeff, get Psalm 19 up there for me, please. Go ahead, Jeff.
And one thing I'll say is, just like you and I have been hanging out for, what, 15 years now?
Too long.
There's different. Yeah, too long. There's different times where I've called you, you've came, whether it be the gay church at Gay Halloween, the liberals on the square, the school board meetings. But if you can't come, then I call you and bend your ear and you'll give me some advice, something what to do, what you think we ought to be doing. And then we take it and run with it. And, you know, and how many times we've been on the road doing things, and you always say, we're just making a story. The people got to go out and make their own story.
Lay down.
There it is. I don't know what happens on my end. It cuts out like that. So I'm sorry if I walked on you there, man. Didn't mean to. Amen, Jeff. Amen. I'm in Psalm 119. I'm in Psalm 19, although I love Psalm 119 as well. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect. Amen. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's our problem. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Make wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, opening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Amen, buddy. They're what? They're more to be desired than gold. What are? The judgments of the Lord are more desired than gold. Yeah, than much fine gold. The judgments of the Lord are sweeter also than honey. And the honeycomb, the judgments of the Lord. Moreover, by them, by what? The judgments of the Lord, as thy servant warned. And by the judgments of the Lord, in keeping of them, there is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin, the sin of presumption. Boy, I could preach on that one. Huh? Yeah. Presumptuous sin, taking for granted what you think the Lord might be is going to do. You assume he's going to do something. You're presumptuous. You think you got it all figured. I'm talking to me. Keep back thy servant from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. What? Those presumptuous sins. Don't let them have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That's where I try to camp out. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I'm not looking for your sympathy, and I'm not mad at anybody, and I hate it. Can I tell you the truth? Christians break fellowship over being offended. You must say amen.
Amen. It's pathetic too. I know.
He stepped on my thumb. He stepped on my toe. he slapped me on my face. And they
everybody,
break.
Everybody.
I'm not anymore. Everybody
talks about the truth and accountability and iron sharpens iron and all that stuff. 80% of the people really don't want to carry that out.
No, they don't. And I'm not criticizing them. Part of what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help you grow spiritually. But can I tell you the truth? Some of you need to grow some gonads. And I look at what I see as Christian America, and I'm thinking, do these guys really need to grow spiritually? I think they need to grow some hair on their chest. That's what I think. I think they already know some of the things, and they don't have the courage to do them. That's what I really think. You want to get right down to the nitty-gritty? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Well, listen, a lot of you ain't a lack of knowledge. No, it's a lack of courage. That's what it is. My people are destroyed for a lack of courage. If we would, I don't care who you are, if you would just take one truth and operate on that one truth and walk out that one truth, you yourself be a very powerful Christian man. Just operating and walking in one truth, applying it in your life and walking it out. I don't care what it is. Any of them would make you a better, stronger man. So I ask myself again, maybe this. Oh, golly, Lord. Help me here, Lord. Because I got so much stuff I want to do. I asked myself, I was on the way down the steps this morning. My phone's dinging. I'll get to here in a second. I was on the way down here to do the show, and I turned back, and I went and I sat down with my wife, and I asked her this question. She's out on the back porch, beautiful breeze blowing back. I'm such a blessed man. Lord Jesus, I thank you for our domicile. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for the peace that passes all understanding, Lord. I thank you for times of refreshing. I thank you for godly helpmate. I went back out and I sat down beside her, just right quarter, 10 till this morning. And I said to her, ask her this question. You guys ready? I'm asking you this question too. Could you define for me Christian values? That's what I asked her. And she was kind of taken back there for a minute. And I think you probably are right now as you're thinking about it. If you were going to sit down and you were going to explain to somebody Christian values, how you recognize a Christian, what would it be, boys? What would it be? I'm asking. What do Christians? Well, they will know we are Christians by our love, Brother Dave. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean? I already got one for you to throw up here in a second, Jared. What does that mean? They know how do we recognize Christians? What's that mark? Now,
I've got a suggestion there, Coach.
I'm asking, yes.
Yeah, just look for the seven things that repentance brings about in a person's life. If you see those things, chances are you got yourself a brother in Christ.
Amen. But a lot of people don't even know what that. They don't know what they are. Larry, can the average Christian explain to anybody what it means to be a Christian? How you know, you will know them by their fruit. What is that? Is it pacifism? Is it loving your enemies? Is it turning the other cheek? What are the characteristics of a Christian, pardon me, man? How do you know when you have come across one? And how would you describe one to somebody who didn't know what one was? Anybody know? Yeah,
I asked similar question to a Rite Aid cashier. I said, "What is an American, Bob? Bob, what's an American?" And he said, "Somebody who works hard." I said, "You just described everybody on the planet Earth."
Well, not only that, the people in the Sudan work harder looking for food probably than the average person does here, right? What does that mean?
Right.
What's a Christian value? What is a Christian? Hey guys, we can't define it. So how do we know when we see it? And you know what it is? As soon as you define it, somebody's going to say, "Oh, no, that's not it.
Right.
That's not what I was taught. That's not it." Christian value is to love each other. Christian value is to forgive everyone. The Christian value is to turn the other cheek. Is a Christian value ever to kill? Is that ever a Christian value? Is it ever a Christian value to knock some guy's teeth out? I'm just asking. Is that ever a Christian value?
It is.
And if it's not, then what the heck are we doing going to war? If that's not also a Christian value. In Romans 13, pull that up there, Jared. This came up in the pre-show. I thought, you kidding me? They're asking that question too? What was the question you asked me today, Jared, or somebody asked me? Is it ever okay to, what did you say, was it, Jared?
When is it okay, biblically, to use force?
Use force. That's right. What he said, force. Force. So I said, just Romans 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. There's force, power. See, there is no power if you don't have the ability to use force. You don't have any power. I say to my grandson, stop that. He stops because why? I have power. And there's a time to exert that power. The time to use that force. Question is, when? When? Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. If you are the head of your house, that is a power ordained of you by God, and you are to exercise force in order to control that family. Anybody disagree with that? I know you don't. The father is to exercise force. Okay, now, who exercises force over the father? Who's supposed to exercise force over the father? Well, the scriptures. But what if I'm not following the scriptures? Who's supposed to exercise force over me? Force not meaning tying me down and sticking a sock in my mouth. Force meaning pressuring me to do the right thing. Whose job is that? Nope.
I don't know that anybody. Well, God moving in. God could obviously exercise force by his ultimate control of every situation. So ultimately, God could, but he might choose to let you bury yourself.
Are you guys going to let me be buried?
No. Or
at some point, are my brothers going to rise up and say, "Coach, you're missing it here. Coach, now listen, this is funny, Coach, because you were just talking about criticism." No, I'm not talking about criticism's healthy. I'm talking about juggling visions. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not, every time somebody says something to me, writes, I take it in my heart and run it through. And sometimes I say, "Golly, you're right. Thank you for telling me that." Sometimes I say, "No, he doesn't understand." Not that he's wrong or he's mean or he's hateful. He doesn't understand. That's why I always view it. But I would hope that if I'm in a mess, some of you guys here are going to help me. They're going to help me.
Amen.
My brothers are going to help me. Why? Because we are all lords over our own families. And by the way, that power is ordained by God. There is nobody that can have that power but you. If you are a dad, you have power that you cannot hand off to somebody. Can't do it.
Right. You can't advocate.
You can't abdicate responsibility. You cannot. Well, you can hand it off, but it's still yours. If I abdicate my responsibility to a babysitter to watch my grandchildren, and the babysitter screws up and my grandchild gets harmed, it ain't the babysitter's fault. It's my fault. Because I didn't do a good job of vetting the babysitter. Right? The power is ultimate. And ultimately, if I screw up on that, then it's the Lord's on top of me. He's the one holding me accountable. Every power subject to that higher power, everyone. So then, well, stay with me, Jared. We're so, therefore, whoever resists the power resists the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Okay, time out. What if rulers are a terror? What if rulers are a terror to good works, but not to evil? What if rulers are enforcing and giving power to evil? Am I supposed to obey those evil works? I'm asking, what are the characteristics of a Christian man?
Right. Well, the answer to that question is absolutely not. You get rid of that ruler. I'll say that.
Of course not. Why? Because he's evil. He says, will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do you want evil people ruling over you or good people ruling over you? And the only reason evil people rule over us is because we don't push back against the evil people. And as a result of it, there's an ungodly power and force that comes down upon our children, who, by the way, we're supposed to be the head of. We send them to school. We take them to phony Sunday schools. And we don't train them. We delegate that power to somebody else. And the delegation has not been good. So we live in a world, boys and girls, operated by power. Let there be no doubt about it. Look, it says it right there. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both heaven and earth. So therefore, doesn't power, Jared, Webster's 1828, let's go there. What is power? What is power? All power. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Power, Latin, possum, potes, potentia. In a philosophical sense, the faculty of doing or performing anything. The faculty of moving or of producing a change in something, ability or strength. A man raises his hand by his own power, or by power moves the body. The exertion of power proceeds from the will, and in strictness, no being destitute of will or intelligence can exert power. Power in a man is active or speculative. Active power is that which moves the body. Speculative power is that by which we see, judge, remember, or in general, by which we think. Power must exist. Power may exist without using it. Call that potential energy, right? We have the power to speak when we are silent. Oh, my goodness! We have the power to speak when we are silent. My.
You know, Coach, there's one problem with a lot of folks out there in the church world. They're confusing the dunamis part of power, which is where we get our word dynamite from, with the exousia part of power. Now that where Jesus
potential energy.
Yeah. Now where Jesus said all power is given unto me, he's not talking about explosive physical force. He's talking about authority.
Mm-hmm. Good word. Good word, Larry. All authority, all power. Ultimately, it all rests on him. When everybody's done eating, he's the guy that they give the check to. All power is given unto him. All authority is given unto him, right? And so he's yielded it to the church house, to your house, to Main Street house. He's yielded that power. And some of us aren't using it properly. And because we don't use it properly, the other side is in control. And they're not supposed to be. Golly, 20 minutes gone already. Okay, you with me? All power, all power, all power, all power, all power. So I'm gonna.
You're not steering that towards the Federal Reserve and our abdication of our right to print our own currency, are you? I know we're not getting. I don't want to get into politics, of course, but
hey, is that godly or not?
It's ungodly.
Should godly people be supporting ungodly things or godly things, or are we okay? So listen, Jared, pull this up here because I just this is 5 minutes. 10 minutes before I came down here, before I went out upstairs, I went out on the deck where the wind is cool breeze this morning. It's nice out there. I went out and hugged my wife and gave her a kiss, told her I loved her, and and then talked about, you know, I asked her about Christian characteristics of a Christian, what we would know, and then Googled this real quickly. I haven't even really looked at it real quick, but I want you to see this. This is why we're confused. What does a Christian man look like? What does a Christian man? Hey. Way, what are Christian values? Click on that for me, Jared. Because I just did this again. I haven't even really looked at that. This is just one I googled on. What are Christian values? Okay, let's scroll on down, Jared. Let's scroll down there and see what they tell us the Christian values are. See if you agree with these. I'm not going to read all this, but here they are. Okay, here we go. So here, what are the real Christian values? Compassion for all peoples, including enemies. Returning good for evil. Unlimited forgiveness. Accepting unlimited attacks from the enemy and still praying for them or helping them and loving them. Submitting to the law of the land, even if it's contrary to Christian teachings and still adhering to Christian ideals. Are you kidding me? Humility in all things. These are Christian values. Charity without fatigue or thought. Personal sacrifices so that others feel loved and valued. True repentance for the past opens the path to redemption. There are many places in the Bible, yada, yada, yada. Now, guys, are those Christian values? Are those standalone Christian values? Somebody help me.
I don't think they're standalone good values.
Are they standalone? Is it ever okay to punch somebody in the mouth?
Yeah.
Yes. It's okay to turn their tables over where they're doing business.
So Larry was supposed to be have compassion for all people, including our enemies. We're never to return evil for evil. But see, here's where they screwed us up. They told us punching a guy in the mouth is evil, and it may not be.
Right.
It may not be evil.
Let them hurt your child or wife and see what you do.
What? Say it again.
Let them hurt your child or your wife and see what you do.
Yeah. Right. Submitting to the law of the land, even if it's contrary to Christian teaching. See that, guys, I'm sorry. That's antithetical to Christian men.
Amen, brother.
That is not a Christian value. Submitting to the law of the land, even if it's contrary to Christian teaching and still adhering to Christian ideals. Why, guys? Because we don't know who all power is, do we? We think that the Supreme Court of the United States trumps the Supreme Being. We think their opinion is above the opinion of God. And Matt Tice, what does it say? They'll have no other gods before me. Huh? I ain't following any other God. I ain't following any other judge, any other judgment. I ain't following any other. I'm not going to be any other judges before me. None. So if they draw you into court, and they draw you into court because you're doing something that does not violate the laws of God, but violates the laws of the government, it'd be better to go to jail and try to beg your way out, in my opinion. Accept it? So, yeah, I did it. You're wrong. I'm not following that stupid law. I don't care what you say. That is in violation of the laws of God, and I will not follow it. Lock me up. Now, would that be the attitude of most Christian men? What did Martin Luther say? What did Martin Luther say? Here I stand. I can do no more. That's the value of a Christian man. See, I think the value of a Christian man is non-compromise. Non-compromise. Somebody help me out. What are some Christian values? See, these are Sisyphus, probably written by a pastor. Probably. Can somebody tell me some Christian values that made America great? And some Christian values that didn't. Come on, boys.
That's not rhetorical. Courage, endurance, bravery.
Yeah. What is it in Revelation that tells us we're overcomers? If that we did not deny our faith or something, even unto death. Now, being willing to die for somebody else and for a cause and for Jesus is a Christian value.
Amen. Hey, Jared. Semper Fi. Semper Fi. You're a Marine. What does that mean, Jared?
Always faithful. Always faithful.
Amen, brother.
To what?
Well, in the Marines. What are you always faithful to? Honor, courage, commitment. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Is that who you're supposed to be faithful to, though? The Marines?
Well, your country.
Is that who your highest loyalty is supposed to be to? Your country? The Marines? Is that who it's supposed to be to? It's misplaced fidelity.
Right. Semper Fi.
For always, always faithful. Always faithful to who? My king. I'm always faithful to my king.
Right.
Because you understand that the Marines understand authority. And so when they say Semper Fi, they're saying you are faithful to the Lord by following those in authority over you. But we know from the Nuremberg trials that if your sergeant tells you to do something that is against the law or violates the whatever, you have no moral obligation to follow it. Why? Because you are forever faithful to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, not to the head of the Department of Defense. Not to some crony sitting in the Pentagon. Yes or no, fellas?
Amen, brother.
Definitely. Is that a Christian value? Jared, you've taken that pledge. You've gone and laid your life down. What does that mean? What is the Marine code, Jared? What is the Marine code? And what is the Christian code? What's the Christian man's code? Follow laws that are ungodly? That's the Christian man's code? Are you kidding me? Help me out here, Jared. Anybody that was in the military. Somebody help me out here. Held to higher standards. What standards? What standards? What standards are you as a Christian man held to?
I don't
Who are
know.
You faithful to?
I don't know what the current Army leadership manual says, but I know in World War II, which is where the copy that I went through, it is the higher power you just spoke of that controls all activities and actions and thoughts of an Army officer. That's the way they're taught. They used to be taught. I don't know about now.
Because authority can only be commissioned. Authority can only be granted. I'm the head of my house. I can grant my child the authority to go someplace, but ultimately that authority rests with me. And the Marines, their authority ultimately is to the Lord. Is it or is it not? Jared?
Well, Coach, within that, I mean, even if, like as a Marine, it's if you're submitting to your country, then your country should be worthy and submitting to God for that submission, right? I mean, it's like you said, it's the hierarchy. So if I am submitting to my country, then I am submitting to God.
Because
my country should be godly. The country should be godly.
Country should be godly. Why is the country not godly? Because we just read that malarkey that guy wrote, said we follow ungodly laws. We say it's okay to kill babies. We say it's okay for men to marry men. We say it's okay for public schools to teach our kids debauchery. Why? Because the government, we're supposed to obey the government. What a horrible misteaching that is. We don't even understand Christian values. We don't even know what they look like.
Amen.
Amen. An excellent point.
That's why we're in the mess we're in. Hey, guys, they're not even respected in your church. If you have strong, unflinching Christian values, they're not even respected in your church.
Oh, they don't want you around.
Why? Because they're so soupy in what they believe. Now, please understand, I'm not trying to come across holier than thou. I got my crosses to bear, for sure. I do the best that I can to serve and please the Lord in everything that I do. And I will not. Maybe we all need to get to this point. You're either going to submit to the government or you're going to submit to the Lord. And those two is going to become more and more mutually exclusive. I'm just telling you.
You can't serve two masters, right?
If you submit to the government today, you're submitting to an ungodly institution. And are we called to do that? Is that what Romans 13 teaches? Is that what we just read? That if you're a good Christian man, you follow the laws even though they're antichrist. That is one of the most ridiculous statements I've ever heard.
You ended up in jail for not following, and it wasn't even real law. It was just what the police thought was prudent down there when you were trying to get water to Shively.
I acted like a Christian. I acted like a Christian. And they threw me in jail. And they threw me in jail. I wasn't acting. That's right. I was whatever. And they threw me in jail. And then who criticized me? Well, the church. I'm supposed to obey the law. Right? So you see, it's manifesting itself everywhere that we look. Abortion is legal because why? Some authority said it was. Well, there's a higher authority. He said, you can't kill that. You can't do that. And we submit to it. We say, man can't marry men. Are you kidding me? Man, that butt sex, no, that's against the law. No, the court says, no, it's not against the law. It's okay. It's right here in the Constitution. We say, oh, okay, great. Hey, you guys want to come over to my house and have butt sex in my house? You want to do that? What has happened to us?
Well,
there's no fidelity to the Lord.
They changed the law so they can get away with their filth.
How have they gotten away with it? The church has said, none of our business. Sorry, we're the house of God. We're not going to be, we're not going to get dirty with those politics.
Vacation of
responsibility. Coach.
Yep.
As we know, the enemy has generational plans for centuries and generations. The church has no plan greater than the next meal. That's the difference.
That's it, buddy. That's it. Hey, Jared. Good. Thank you, Lord. I heard that. Go to John 3. Go to John 3. There's a man, the Pharisees, big religious guy named Nicodemus. He was in a real position of authority. He was a ruler of the Jews. He snuck at night, went by to see Jesus. He said unto him, hey, Jesus, man, the stuff you're doing is unbelievable. The miracles that you're performing, they got to be from God. No one can do these things, buddy, except God's with him. And Jesus said to him, well, thank you so much, Reverend Nicodemus. Nice to have you. Thanks for coming over. And would you like to share a meal with me? He said, hey listen, Nick, Jesus said, you don't have the half of it, brother. You ain't got the half of it. And I'm going to tell this to you. Except you be born again, you ain't going to get any of this. And Nick says, what? You talking about, man? I can be born again. Can I get back inside my mommy's womb? Be born? Jesus, oh my goodness. I say, and do you accept you be born of water and of the Spirit? You cannot enter to the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you the truth. We're dealing in America with a lot of people who walked an aisle and said a prayer, but they are not born again. You say, Coach, how can you say that? Well, I'm watching their fruit. I'm watching how they have no fidelity at all to the Lord or the things of the Lord. They have fidelity to people, to serving people and being nice to people and loving people, but they have no fidelity at all to honoring and worshiping the Lord, unless that honoring and worshiping of the Lord makes their life better. And then if it makes their life better, I look at Rusty Thomas. He has a beef with God, in my opinion. He has a beef with the Lord. All that he's done, laid down his life, raised his family, the fear and the admonition of the Lord, only to see his wife die of cancer, then to see his son, as Rusty said yesterday, twice at death's door. He has a beef with the Lord. Yet he doesn't. Why? Because Rusty understands that all power has been given unto him, both in heaven and earth. It's all him. It's all his power. Whether you live or whether you die, it's all your power. And for most of us, we're not really born again to the point where we love our lives enough to lay it down. That's why we're in the mess that we're in. Why, if I push back against the government, they'll throw me in jail. Yeah, you won't be the first one to ever been there either, will you? Well, yeah, but if I go to that school board meeting and I speak up against homosexuality, well, everybody in town is going to be mad at me. Yeah, you won't be the first one either, will you? The Bible says that you're going to be identified by your fruit. They're going to know you by what you say and what you do and where you stand. That's how people are going to know. Listen, folks, you can't pull the scripture out of context and say they shall know that we're Christians by our love and make that a doctrine. I'm sorry. You don't even know what love is. We can't even define what love is. We can't even define what the characteristics of a Christian man are. I hear a bird. Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
Something happened yesterday. I've got a mechanic I've had there at my lot for about a year. You've met him, Mark. Yeah. Reached out to him about 9 months ago. His dad's got a bad drinking problem. I mean, it's terrible. Holds down a good job, parts store manager, you know what I mean, everything. Everybody looks up to him, likes the guy. I asked him 9 months ago if he wants me to go and talk to his dad because he's really angry. This boy is angry. So yesterday, he comes in. Now, he didn't want me to go 9 months ago, but all of a sudden yesterday, his dad's in the hospital because he come home drunk and the boy plowed him. He plowed his dad. Dad's laying in the hospital with a broken ankle, his arms messed up. He's in bad shape. So yesterday they're talking, and Mark knows me. He knows some of the things we've done, you know, different things that go on in our lives as Christians. And I heard him talking to his mom in the afternoon about 3 or 4 o'clock. He said, "Mom, do you want me to send Jeff up to the hospital?" And I looked at him and smiled and I said, "You don't have to ask me." I said, "I'm going. When I close this lot today, I'm going." Went out and talked to the guy, shared with him, you know what I mean? And just told him what's going on, what's wrong in his life, what's missing. And had a good conversation with him, and he appreciated it all. He listened, and I've offered to help him. You know what I mean? When he gets up out of this hospital bed, I'll help him. The boy, Mark, called me last night. We talked. I told him what I told his dad, and he said, "Thank you, Jeff." But he appreciates it. He knew I would go if he just, because there was a problem. So hopefully with this guy, Mick, there's going to be some great things come out of this. And I explained to him that God's got a plan for his life. He has no clue what it is right now, but we're about to figure it out if he wants to. So it was a good day. I mean, Mark is a good kid.
Let me say this, Jeff, and love you to death. You're like Larry here a minute. I'm not sure God has a wonderful plan for people's lives. I think it's a mistake when we tell him that. He could have a horrific plan for your life. Huh? He could have a horrific plan. Now, the plan for his life is to glorify him. It ain't to make you happy and comfortable. Jeremiah Thomas, it don't look like a wonderful plan, does it? That don't look like a wonderful plan for his life. Rusty's looking, it don't look like a wonderful plan for Rusty's life. But Rusty and Jeremiah both know where all authority rests. And they both know that they have trust in that ultimate authority. They know that the authority and the love of God is above and beyond anything we can understand earthly. And so our loyalty and fidelity is to him, not to the doctors, not to the hospital, not to the medicine. We're trusting in him to use this authority structure under him for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Not that we have a happy life or a wonderful plan. There's people watching this right now, their life hadn't been wonderful. God hadn't had no wonderful plan for their life. Do you know what's going to happen in your life in the next 10, 15 years? Is it going to be a wonderful plan? Is it going to be your best life now? That's all false gospel. Those people who are following that stuff, I'm telling you, folks, those people who are following that stuff, they're not born again.
No, I agree. But the thing I told the guy was the God's plan for your life is not to destroy your wife and your two children.
Of course.
Love you to death, you know what I mean?
Of course.
That was my message to him. You're destroying people around you.
Yeah. I wasn't criticizing you. I was just making the point.
Coach.
Yeah.
One of the things that drew me to watch your show, you were probably into it about 3 months when I found you, was that you say the things that I seem to be was feeling or thinking that I wasn't hearing in the church.
Mm.
And in the course of almost 3 years now, you've shown me that what I need to do is be more like the disciples, you know, walk in the Spirit. they had controlled strength. You know, like you define what meek was. It's controlled strength. And I think that's what a Christian man should look like, is he's out there doing the things that is convicting him through the Holy Spirit and walking in faith, walking in the Spirit. And I think if we were really doing that, we would probably be dodging, bouncing in and out of prisons like Paul. Yes, sir.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
How many times when you may take action or you may say something as a Christian, and those around you that are not, and they say, well, that's not really how a Christian's supposed to act.
Yeah.
So I say, how is they supposed to act? What do you
I hear that from church people even.
What do you know about it? What do you know about it?
They don't know it, right? Because we cannot defend it. I want to end this with this thought today. I want you to tell me one time in the scriptures when Jesus had the opportunity to confront evil that he remained silent. That's what we're supposed to be. We're made in his image. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.